Tonight, we're going to talk about money. Money. Now, this is a $5 bill. I mean, it's not like I came up here with hundos, right? This is a $5 bill, but somebody said that's still a lot of money. Maybe. I'm going to put that right there because we're going to talk about him. But before we talk about money, we need to talk about you. You cannot properly understand. My tablet does not recognize me with this hat on. It's like, who are you? What do you mean? No, you can't have access. No, you ain't even John. Show me some credentials. So tonight I want to talk about money, but before I want to talk about money, I want to talk about you. And I want to do just a little bit of review. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 says this, "But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery or perdition and are utterly destroyed. But we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by faith persevere the soul." So a couple of weeks ago, you learned that you are of a faith breed. That's who you are. It's what you are. It makes up your DNA. You are of a faith breed. And then we learned last week that you are in his name, that you are in the name of Jesus. So not only are you of a faith breed, but you are in the name of the Most High God, which means that because you're in his name and you're not in your name anymore, you have access to everything that pertains to the kingdom. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that is holy, everything that is righteous, everything that is just, everything that is true, all things that are good and bring about the glory of God belong to you in ownership. And so in order for you to understand that, you have to understand that you need to renew your thought process, because the world would tell you this: seeing is believing. If I can't touch it, it's not real. If I can't feel it, it doesn't exist. If I can't hold it, I don't have it. That's the thought process of the world, and that thought process is the root of everything evil in our society. Premarital sex stems from the fact that love is not real until I can participate in the act of love carnally. Depression stems from the fact that I can't grasp peace, happiness, wholeness if I can't feel it. It doesn't exist if I don't feel it. That thought process is the thought process of a carnal man. That thought process is the thought process of a carnal teenager. However, the spirit mind that's informed by the word of God says believing is receiving. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith moves mountains. Faith takes hold of healing. Faith steps into provision. So I don't necessarily have to see it with my carnal eye because I can see it with my spirit eye. I don't have to feel it with my carnal feeler. I can feel it with my spirit. I don't have to know it with my physical mind. I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. And because I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind, I perceive what is the word of God. And the word of God produces the fruit that it was sent to produce. What did Brother Copeland say this past Sunday? He said, everything comes from seed. Things come from seed. And we know that the word of God is the best seed that you could ever plant. Because the word of God never returns void. It operates in a place of multiplication. Now, I'm going a long way around. Some of you are like, you know what, Pastor John, you said this like 16 weeks in a row. You just ain't wrote no new sermons. And so you just keep saying the same thing over and over again. I do, on purpose. Now, I have wrote new sermons. Don't get me wrong. But I say the same thing over on purpose because the world constantly tells you to think contrary to kingdom-minded thought process. You are constantly being persuaded to think with your feeler. everything about the world is geared on you feeling it. I just want you to feel this. I just want you to see this. This is real. I want you to touch this. You got to touch it in order for it to do anything for you. You got to experience it. All of that leads to death, destruction. I've never, ever, I've met a lot of crack addicts in my life. I've never met one that said, you know what? I'm so proud of the fact I'm a crackhead. I'm the best crackhead there ever was. If you don't like it, oh well. Not never. I've never ever once talked to someone who was a prostitute that said, I love my lifestyle. Most of them are hungry for deliverance, but what happened is they got caught up in the here and now. You'll hear people say that. I just got caught up in life. I just got caught up in the here and now. I don't want you to ever get caught up. And so I would rather you hear me say the same thing over and over again. And plus, whenever I say the same thing over and over again, some of the most mundane things that I've ever heard in my life that got on my nerves when they were being said, some of those things are some of the best things that I've ever learned in my whole life. There's scripture in the Bible that I can quote today, and I can't quote it today simply because I'm smart. I can quote it today because I got sick of hearing a preacher preach it in a pulpit, and I was like, dude, please get some new material. And he said the same thing over and over and over and over again until one day I was having money trouble, and he had said the same thing over and over and over again. And I was like, Lord, I don't necessarily know if I can tithe. I just can't. Bring my tithe. I just can't do it. And I heard in the back of my head, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Bring all of your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me in this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I was like, seriously? Really? This thought process needs to get so rooted in you that it is a natural response to any form of external pressure. Your natural reflex needs to be faith. So tonight, we're going to talk about money. Romans chapter 8. Woo! I love the fact that she does that. By the way, love the fact that she does that. I think everybody should do that. Somebody calls out a scripture, you need to get excited. Yeah. Now some of y'all will be like, man, why didn't I think of that? That's all right. She thought of it for you. We're all one body. It's cool. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 8, says this. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but are in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Drop down to verse 14. For as many are led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now understand this. Without proper renewing of your mind, this will control you like a yo-yo. Ups and downs. If you got a lot of it, you're comfortable, happy, joyous, not the kind of joy from the kingdom, the world kind of joy, that kind of joy that fades, not the joy that passes understanding. But if you don't have enough of it, you can start operating in fear, making bad decisions, being upset, feeling like a social outcast, feeling like you can't fulfill your obligations in life. This, without proper understanding, is a sad, sad situation. And you should never put your faith in this. For all of you sitting here listening, and for every person who will get this podcast, understand this. For years, the prosperity message has been distorted. So let me set the record straight. Just because we believe in prosperity does not mean that we believe in money. Matter of fact, the title of this sermon is Prosperity versus Money. They're different. So if you put your faith in this, you will always be disappointed. As a matter of fact, your money has instructions on it. Have you ever read your money? There's a little part of the money right here that says, this is legal tender for all debts, public and private, which means that you can use this note, this $5 note, to satisfy any cost that costs $5. But if you flip this $5 on its back, it says, in God we trust. Your money tells you not to trust it. I'm serious. Your money says, don't trust me, trust God.
Come on.
You ever want to know whether or not there's hope for this nation? Flip your money on its back. Flip your money on its back. The foundation of the nation said, in God we trust. We gave you this for debts, public and private. That means that if you got something going on and you need to have a unit of exchange, this is a one modem of exchange. This is a modem of exchange. This is only to be used for exchange. It doesn't make you more of a person. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you an awesome individual. It doesn't give you character. It doesn't breed integrity. All this does is exchanges. But on the back of it, it has an instruction that says, in God we trust, which means that we don't trust in what this paper can do. We trust the one who gave us the ability to get the paper.
Come on.
All right, so I'm gonna get too happy ahead of myself. So listen, without proper renewing of your mind, money can incite fear, and that is not faith. You have the spirit of adoption, which is what Romans 8:14 tells us. You have the spirit of adoption, which means that you are a son and a daughter of the King, which is why I had you stand up there and sing. Stand tall. We are sons. We are daughters. Step straight into this love. We bear the mark of our Creator. Historically, people have told you that this equals love. You love me? Buy me. This is not love. This is not love. This is flimsy. It comes and it goes. Drop down to verse 16, Romans 8. The Spirit himself, listen, the Spirit himself, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So if you're not renewed in your mind, then you can't understand what the Spirit is bearing witness to. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. You need to understand that you are first a spirit, second a soul, third a body. You have to keep body in position number three. If you don't keep body in position number three, you'll start thinking along the lines of your body. And that is a recipe for disaster, because if you're 14 in this room, your body is telling you all kinds of different things. Your body is in absolute rebellion to you. Your body is telling you she's cute, she cute. No, she cute, she cute. Oh, Lord, she's cute. No, she's cute. Okay, I don't think she's cute anymore. I think she's cute. No, she's not cute. She's cute. I want a Snickers. That's what your body is telling you. Your body is telling you crazy stuff like, I can go to bed at 2 o'clock, wake up at 6 o'clock and be okay and not fall asleep in math class. Algebra has never kept anybody awake. Never. Never. It's not even designed to keep you awake. You need 3 jugs of coffee and Jesus and angels and the Holy Ghost and all kinds of Twinkies and everything else to help you make it through. Hallelujah, I got some waivers in the back. Somebody gonna blow the shofar if I ain't careful. All right, listen. Listen, verse 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. So you're an heir. You're an heir. You're an heir. Now, what does an heir do? An heir inherits. What do you inherit? Typically, you inherit wealth. Now, understand this. There is a difference between having money and being wealthy.
That's good.
You want me to explain the difference?
Yes.
Here's the difference. LeBron James has money. The dude that signs LeBron James' check is wealthy. Selah. Let that sink in for a second. Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Rock stars have money. RCA Records is wealthy. So there's a big difference. And when we start to think that money equals wealth, we start to cheat ourselves because you are an heir of a wealthy kingdom. You are an heir of prosperity. But when you liken prosperity to money, you cheapen yourself. You sell yourself short. You make yourself cheap. I want you to understand this. Sin does not make you cheap. Sin is a condition of your former state. You are no longer a sinner. People will teach you, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner who was saved by grace. So you're not a sinner anymore. And when people allow you to say words like, I'm a sinner, then they allow you permission to sin. And that's not okay. God is a good God. He's a just God. He's a merciful God. But you got to remember that he's still a holy God. And in order for you to get to him, you got to be holy. And you can't be holy in your name. We learned this last week. You can't be holy with you. You have to be holy in him. Take on his righteousness. Put on his holiness. Step into his love. And his love is perfect. And so if you step into him, if you have once stepped into him, stepped out of yourself and said, God, I accept your sacrifice on the cross. I step into who you are. You're in him now. You're not going back and forth. You're in him.
That's good.
And if you're in him, you're of him. And if you're of him, you're an heir. And if you're an heir, you have access to prosperity, inclusive of money, not exclusive of money. So I want to teach this to you tonight. Being an heir means you have access to so much more than money. But we cheat ourselves. We stop it with money. John 15, verse 7 and 8 says, if you abide in me, didn't we just talk about that, stepping into him? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. And it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. So if what John is saying is correct, John never said, if you abide in me and you ask anything, you ask whatever you need of me, I'm going to give you money. Money can do a lot of things. Money can't cure cancer. It's been trying for years and years and years. People working in laboratories trying for years and years and years. We funnel money years and years and years to get cancer cured. You know what cures cancer? Jehovah Rapha.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, come on.
Money can't bring peace. Money can't save a marriage. Money can't put a home back together. There are things that money can't do. But what John writes here is you ask whatever you, let me make sure I quote it right so you get it. Ask what you desire. Ask what you desire. If we were being real honest tonight, most of you would desire things that had nothing to do with money. God, I desire peace in my house. God, I desire love. God, I desire compassion. God, I desire forgiveness. God, I desire your presence. God, I desire to see your face. God, I desire to know that you're there. God, show me that you're real. God, prove yourself. God, unveil me. God, do the miraculous. God, operate in the supernatural. Show me. You, most of you, I have very seldom been at the altar and people come up and said, pray for me, Pastor. I need $25. Most people just come up and say, Pastor, can I have $25? Most people who respond to altar calls are responding to altar calls for things that money can't buy. Money is a terrible God. But what John says is if you abide in him and you're in him and you are his word is inside of you and you are a part of who he is. You take on his nature. You take on his character. You step into who he is. And when you step into who he is, you sound like him. You sound just like Jesus. So when you start asking God, God, heal my body, God does not hear you. God hears the voice of his son, the one who cried out on the cross, it is finished. All of it. Every disease is finished. Every circumstance is taken care of. All of it is summed up by my blood on this piece of wood. And so he hears that voice and responds with action. That's why the Bible never says you are saved by grace through $500. It says you are saved by grace through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. They that come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You must believe that God is. God will do what he said he'll do. And when you come to him in that manner, then God hears you differently. So check this out. You have access to everything pertaining to the kingdom. You have access to everything pertaining to the kingdom. I didn't just make this up. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 says this, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access to one spirit to the Father, by one spirit to the Father. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11 and 12, concerning the mysteries of the kingdom, the riches of Christ, and the manifold wisdom of God, says this, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You have access to the kingdom. Now, understand, it doesn't say you have access to money. When you limit it by money, you cheat yourself. You have access to favor, provision, health, safety, appointment, arrangement, protection from evil, salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, and holiness, none of which can be paid for with money. All of which are bought with blood. So I want you to have right thinking about money. Why is that important? Because the stuff that we tell you in faith makes absolutely no sense to a carnal mind. I'm for real. I'm okay to say that. It makes no sense to someone who thinks in the carnal. We tell you stuff like this. Get 100% of your paycheck. Give away 10% and you'll be able to do more with the 90% than you were able to do with the 100%. That's some gangsta stuff. That sounds like somebody on a street corner with shells moving them around, like pick the one with the ball in it. Oh, you got the wrong. Now give me the $10. No, that's what that sounds like. To the carnal mind, that's what that sounds like. To God, God doesn't see that because God made this proclamation. As long as the earth exists, there will be seed time and harvest. So God doesn't operate on your paper chase calendar. God operates on a seed time and harvest calendar, which means that if you didn't sow it, you can't receive it. What does the word say? Be ye not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. So when we start to shift our thinking, when we start to change gears in the way we perceive the kingdom, we have an accurate understanding of things like money. Now, why is that important? Number one, because you are a faith people, and faith people have oftentimes throughout history gotten beaten about the head and neck with a baseball bat for being people who chase only money. This whole idea that, oh, they're a prosperity ministry, so all they're about is money. Oh. You know what I'm about? Favor, provision, health, safety, appointment, arrangement, protection from evil, salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, and holiness. And you'd be a fool. If you didn't take it. Why would you step into a kingdom of righteousness and holiness that has everything that you could ever want, walk through the kingdom and say, you know what? I just ain't gonna take none of this. Are you serious? I want you to have an accurate understanding of what we believe. Furthermore, I want to read this to you. Now, I also want to take a moment to say this. If God's doing something for you, we want to know about it. So I want to encourage you to send an email to 1440@emic.org. The number 14, the word 40, at emic.org. And let us know what's going on. You can put your name down. You can do it anonymously. However you want to do it. If you tell me, if I can see your name through the email, but you say, Pastor John, I want to remain anonymous, I'll keep you anonymous. You have my word. But I want you to hear this. This is an anonymous testimony. One day I received a check in the mail from my great-grandmother for Easter. Immediately, I determined my tithes. So I did a calculation. Determine my tithes. I thought about my offering and decided to give $5. So tithes and offerings are different, and if we have time enough, we're going to get to that part. Later that day, my mom and I were talking about it, and she encouraged me to ask God how much to give and what to name my offering. Now, hold on a second. You know this is a word of faith individual. Yeah. Because she went and talked to her mama about her offering, and her mama said, baby, name it. Name your offering. Name it? Are you serious? He already got a name. It's Lincoln. We'll call it Sir Lincoln. I can put a tag on his name, but he already, Mr. Lincoln, what do you want me to do? Name it? I'm going to tell you why that's important. If you plant a banana seed, what are you going to get? If you plant a watermelon seed, what are you going to get? If you plant apples, what are you going to get? So if you get what you sow, and when you sow those types of seeds, you sow them on purpose so that you can get what you've sown for, why wouldn't you name your seed when you sow it in the kingdom so that you can reap what you have sown? Isn't that what the word says? Yeah. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall we reap. So when we have right thinking about this, we understand that this is legal tender for all debts, both public and private. It's a unit of exchange. It's a seed. So when I sow this, it doesn't have to be sown as money, $5 bill. It can be sown in the spirit as brokenness. God, this is what I'm giving and sowing, and I'm believing that you will return unto me, blah, blah, blah. Check out what happened. So I prayed and asked God, and he said $15 for braces. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. This baby ain't sewing for like a new purse or a new outfit. She's sewing for braces. So I prayed and asked God, and he said $15 for braces. I had been needing braces for at least 5 years. And so I was like, okay. That Sunday, I gave my tithe and offering. Maybe 9 to 10 months later, my mom got her tax return back and was able to pay for her half of the braces with one check. Every time, this is the part that got me. Every time I see my teeth in the mirror, I think about how good God is. Yeah, go, yeah. Yeah. Now, let me tell you why that's important. 5 years without braces. How many tax returns do you think mama got? Five, probably, because you file your taxes every year, and some years you get more, some years you get less, some years you have to pay. So the carnal mind would say, oh, she got her taxes back, she just bought that baby some braces. But for 5 years, she was unable to do that. For 5 years, she went without because there was not enough. But then there was seed sown. And when seed was sown, there was a germination, because the seed had a name and a purpose, and that seed brought forth a harvest, and the harvest was worth more than any other time because it was on purpose. What did you say? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it was he who gave you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers on this day. Drop down for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower. Got so happy, I started skipping around on my notes. 5 years. Same process. I want you to understand this. As it concerns money, that scripture I just read in Deuteronomy tells us that it's God that gives us the opportunity, the ability to gain wealth. So no, God is not silent about money. God wants you to have money. Why does he want you to have money? Do you remember a story in the Bible? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. If he feeds them, how much more will he feed you? Now, I don't know when the last time you went to Albertsons, but you can't get food without money. Either that or you're going to get arrested. Just saying. God wants you to have your needs, but get this, your needs are connected to his riches in glory. So your needs are connected to an unfailing supply. It's not connected to a budget, it's connected to riches in glory. Riches, baby, riches, riches, riches. It don't end, it don't turn off, riches. So if you'll get this mind right, where you can operate in a kingdom system, then you can connect to what the system has benefit for you. And the system says that you are connected to riches. So yeah, he wants you to have money, but think right about money. Money is not your God. Money does not embody your faith. Money is way too shallow to hold your faith. God gives you the opportunity. God gives you the ability. I'm watching the time and making sure we're good. Are we good back there? We're good. Listen to this. That scripture in Deuteronomy, and I'm probably saying Deuteronomy all kinds of wrong, but that scripture, in that scripture, if you read the whole context, God is reminding the children of Israel, don't forget who brought you out. Don't forget who saved you, who rescued you, who set you free, who put you on a path for prosperity. So when your fields are yielding a harvest that you can hardly collect, when you operate in the spirit and in the system of multiplication, because I am going to increase you. When you get there and you start to reap these benefits, don't forget that it's God that gives you the opportunity to get wealth. Not man, not the work of your hands. That doesn't mean you don't go to work. It means that you don't trust your job. That doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It means you don't trust you. You trust God.
That's good. That's good.
So let me get this. I want you to get some firm footing as it relates to tithing. And gosh, I got... Yeah, I don't have quite enough time. Let me start here. Sowing seed. Okay. Nope. Not going to go there. Not going to do it. All right. As it relates to tithing, tithing is a commandment. 10% is a commandment. As a matter of fact, Malachi chapter 3 declares that if you don't bring your tithe, you are robbing God. Tithing is God's money. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me in this, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive it. And then the next verse says, I will rebuke the devourer, which means that all the stuff that goes wrong that costs you extra money, he'll take care of that. It means your refrigerator won't go out, and you won't have unexpected bills, and you won't have to repair stuff that should have been working right in the first place. Offering is different. Offering is seed money. Offering is sowing. And so when you sow, God kicks into another gear on your behalf. Obedience gets you blessing, opens up the windows of heaven. Sowing gets you into a place of multiplication. How many of you have ever planted a garden? And I referenced the scripture a minute ago. It's 2 Corinthians, and if you need that scripture, we'll get it to you on the website. I'm going to go ahead and start to get close to where we're going to wrap up. But how many of you have ever planted a garden? Raise your hand. What did you grow?
Tomatoes and watermelon.
Tomatoes and watermelon. Okay, how many watermelon seeds did you plant?
I don't know.
Okay. If you plant one watermelon seed, do you get one watermelon?
We got at least two.
You got at least two off of the one. All right, so if you planted one watermelon seed, God didn't add, he multiplied. If you plant one tomato seed and that tomato plant lives, God doesn't add, he multiplies. So your seed gets you into a place of multiplication. Now, how many of you want to be in the place of addition? How many of you want to be in the place of multiplication? If you're believing for camp money, how many of you want to be in a place of addition? I don't want to add my money to your money. We still may not have enough. But if you're believing for camp money, how many of you want to operate in the spirit of multiplication? I mean, how many of your families need to operate in the spirit of multiplication? How many of your surrounding friends that are having troubles need to operate in the spirit of multiplication? If I had time, I would teach you that wherever you go, the favor of God goes. And because you operate in favor, you usher in favor on other people. So when you start believing in the spirit of multiplication, other people start reaping the benefits of multiplication. And they didn't even know they were going to reap the benefits of multiplication simply because they're connected to a son and a daughter.
Yeah, come on now.
We ain't got that kind of time, though. Stand on your feet. I am happy to announce this. This week, or today, I was privileged enough to get the okay from our pastor. This church, this youth group, will be sowing seed into another youth ministry. I'm believing for, hallelujah, yeah, come on, praise the Lord for that. I'm believing for growth and expansion of our youth group, not because I'm centered on numbers, but because I want to see more young people come to know God. So send me the gangster.
Come on.
Send me the drug addict.
Yeah.
Send me the homosexual. Send them. Send them. Because I believe there's enough glory in this house to change them. So send them. Send them. So we're sowing a seed into another youth ministry. How many of you all watch the news? How many of y'all seen the big gorilla? How many of y'all seen the big gorilla? The youth pastor, Stephen Klein, the youth pastor at Lake Country, has been camped out on the roof for the last few days. I don't remember how many days it is, but he camped out and he said, I'm not coming down until we have $50,000. I don't care. Look, I want you to hear this from this platform. I don't care what happens or what anybody else tells you. If somebody else is in youth ministry, that's my brother, that's my sister. Pastor John is serious about connecting with other youth pastors because we're in it together. If every student in Dallas-Fort Worth decided to go get saved, they could not fit in 1440, nor could they fit up the hill. We need every worker to go out and gain a harvest. We need them. And so I was able to call Stephen today and say 1440 wants to partner with you. EMIC wants to partner with you, and we want to sow a seed into what you're doing. So every penny that you give here tonight will go to that youth group. It will go to that youth group. It will go to that youth group. Why? Because it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom, and we have right thinking about our money. This right here will not win a soul.
Yeah.
But this as a seed will bring in a harvest, and as a result of that harvest, we will win souls.
Yeah.
So your altar call tonight is this. Name your seed. And sow into this youth ministry. I only need one basket. Name your seed. So now I may need another basket. It start overflowing and I can't carry it all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Name your seed. Give on purpose tonight. I challenge you as a teenager to sow into Lake Country's teenagers. And watch what God does. Do I have any Lake Country folk in the house?
Yeah,
that's all right. Raise your hand high, girl. Hallelujah. We want to encourage you to give to your youth group. Amen. All right. So listen, while we're doing this, y'all ready? All right. Let's pray over this. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight we name our seed. Tonight we purposefully sow in to another youth group. God, I pray right now that you would undergird Pastor Klein. You undergird Pastor Stephen, that you would give him everything that he needs to run that youth group, that you would give him every single resource that he needs, everything that his money is earmarked for. God, I pray that you would multiply it, that you would absolutely multiply it, and that he would spend money and not realize that he had extra money to spend on extra things. God, I pray that you would give them an abundance of growth. God, I pray that you would send teenagers their way who need to hear the gospel and put utterance in his mouth, God. Put utterance in his mouth to speak forth into a generation and watch it change. Tonight, we stand arms locked in agreement with that youth group. Because we understand that this money is not where we put our trust, but we put our trust in you, Father, the one who allows us to gain access to everything pertaining to the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.